Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. What a show.
Another great conversation, Gareth.
Another great CEO. And he really, really is a remarkable individual. I especially like that curiosity comment.
We've got to make connections with him.
If you didn't hear that conversation, please go and download the podcast at cliffcentral.com. It was a conversation with McLean Sabunda. He's the CEO of the Innovation Hub. And so if that doesn't pique your interest, well, then I don't know what will. But here in studio, we have another guest. And we picked up something that was sent to us. And the title is Tips Every Service Industry Startup Needs to Know, which is quite an interesting, if you start pulling it apart, it's very interesting. Shall we just let him introduce himself and
absolutely,
then jump into that?
Absolutely. Welcome to the show.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Do introduce yourself.
My name is Bradley Elliott. I'm the MD of a company called Platinum Seed, which mm-hmm. is a digital technology solutions company based in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, we've been around for 7 years now, obviously had a lot of learnings through that.
I'm sure.
And still many more to come, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's who I am. I've also been involved in a few other tech startups. We've launched a few apps in the market. So that's really where my...
So you know what you're doing.
Well, I wouldn't push it that far, but... Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we've learned a lot of lessons, I think, especially in the tech sector, you get to learn very quickly. Not that I'm saying in other industries you don't. But yeah, I mean, that's, and we're always out to service clients and customers effectively. On the one hand, through our digital technology company, and on the other hand, through our applications.
Well, what's interesting about this conversation really is the fact that on the one hand, I hear digital technology company, I just think, okay, you produce a certain kind of product. But then, I mean, the theme here is service, service industry, startup. And so you regard yourself as a service industry startup versus a tech company that may just be selling products. So it's an interesting cool. dynamic here. Explain, please.
So completely. So on the one hand, you've got we service clients who are looking to develop their own tech products and or social media strategies, campaigns, websites,
we saw that on the website,
those
yeah.
sorts of things. And on the other side of the coin, we've got ourselves who produce our own products, which we then sell out into the clients. So okay. either way, we're delivering a service. I hope that sort of clarifies it, yeah.
So when we say service, what are we actually talking about? So some people might think of service as a place where you can go and you can order a meal, and then that interaction is service. Are we talking about the interaction, or what are we talking about? 100%
correct. So I mean, if you look at like an off-the-shelf, yeah. If you look at a service. Like a bank provides a service, whereas someone selling something on the shelves, that's a physical product that they've gone and produced in a factory and then are selling it. Shoprite might be the service. They are a retailer. So, yeah, I think that's really the differentiation.
So if you are in, I'm talking to our listeners, in the service industry and being a startup, let's talk about things that you really need to know when going through this process, Bradley. So how would you begin the process of being in the service industry?
Well, I think it's like any business that you're going to start. Obviously you need to do some sound research, look at other competitors in the market and try and establish how you're going to, differentiate yourself from those competitors. What are your unique selling points going to be? What is your end goal or vision? And, you really need to be very client centric, I guess, in your approach. As a product, you might be able to get away with a few things because the product is the one to take the flak,
yeah.
not necessarily you.
Yeah.
Where in a service industry, you are the face of your company, you are the face of your business, and so are the people you employ, obviously, your team. So you need to be very client-centric and be sure to understand that you're dealing with people and you're providing solutions to people. And as humans, we're a lot more, not vulnerable, but a lot more unpredictable than, a machine making
correct.
A product.
So can I ask this question then? Can you differentiate yourself entirely on the service that you provide, even with the same product? Are we saying
I think
that?
You can, definitely. If you look at someone like Apple.
Sure.
Always a great example.
Let's just go to the example quickly.
I mean, yeah, I mean, everyone sold cell phones, you know what I mean? And then they went and everyone thought a cell phone was a cell phone was a cell phone, and they bought out the iPhone. So in essence, it's the same product. It still makes calls, but all the unique selling points on top of it, obviously made it, you know, special. Okay. That is a product.
But a client-centric approach.
For sure. And then there's also services on top of that product. So you look at iTunes and the ability to buy music. So there's a service level over and above that product. You look at things like...
Or maybe Virgin Atlantic is a good one, right? Because I think Richard Branson had a certain kind of experience on an airliner and he didn't like it.
100% correct.
Where they differentiate is the experience, isn't it?
100% correct. I mean, he was standing in a queue, I think, and he couldn't, or the flight was delayed, if I remember correctly. And he just hired a private plane and thought, you know, well, why don't I just start my own airline? So, yeah, great opportunity.
Let's talk about what you think of business culture.
Business culture.
Mm-hmm. You can start with your own of Platinum Seed.
Yeah.
What is your business culture?
I think there's three fundamental sorts of pieces of DNA or cultural DNA that we like to strive towards achieving. And that is, one is innovation. We try to, from your previous guest, remain curious.
Try and
innovate. Try and look for solutions to problems that people might not even think exist.
Wonderful.
Our second part is that we're forever evolving, which sort of ties back to innovation. So we're growing, we're changing, we're remaining agile, and we're very connected. So connection internally with our clients and with our industry are the three places we need to be connected if we're to have a competitive advantage and do the best quality work possible. And by being connected, I'm talking having those communication lines open, understanding each other, and really talking and communicating on through a medium so that we are forever learning.
What's so important, I guess, about this, well, not I guess, I know, about this communication thing that you're now talking about, this ability to connect, is the fact that you really have to have people in your organization that are speaking the same language as you and as your brand. And that, of course, then goes beyond just an understanding of the communication strategy or the brand strategy, but really to who they are. In the document that we received where you describe some things, you do speak about this point, this idea that
values
and your the asset in your company is really the people that you are hiring. Just a few comments around that, please.
I mean, yeah, I'm a strong believer in that you're only as strong as your team. I think a lot of people say that, you know, everyone says, and I said you have to be very client-centric right at the beginning of this, and you do, and everyone always goes, customer is king. Let's take it back to Richard Branson. Your staff or your team are your king, because if you look after your staff and your team, they will automatically look after your client. How do you get people to, you know, talk and communicate? You say it goes back down to a value set, those types of things. I think the main thing is that we're all working towards a common purpose or goal. So when we,
which is not profit, right? We're not talking about this
we're not talking profitable. Financial. No, yeah. No. I think everyone thinks that entrepreneurs and are these big bad capitalists that only care about the bottom line at all costs.
Never.
Which in fact it's usually quite the opposite.
True.
So I think, you know, when we look at interviewing people or hiring people, it's often around, you know, do they share the same values in terms of common goal? You know, those values might be pride, attention to detail, you know, those are sort of...
Yeah, my greatest weakness is that I have an attention to detail. that's a great thing to hear in an interview, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think it's also if you communicate that with your team and you all work towards something that is common, then you'll get buy-in. And that's really what you want to do. You want to try to create buy-in because, as I said earlier, we're all different. And there are obviously going to be challenges and people have got different skill sets and different interests and those sorts of things. But if we're all working towards a common goal, and they've got a shared vested interest in that goal, I think then you land up being in a very beneficial relationship with them.
And I also think, you know, the point that you can't be everything to everyone. And I think when you starting 2 years ago, what Future CEOs was going to stand for, what we were going to try and communicate, and what our message was going to be. And we didn't fit in all the nooks of all entrepreneurial shows, but that's what makes us one of the hottest entrepreneurial shows on Cliff Central. What do you think of that statement that you can't be everything to everyone, Bradley?
I think it's a brilliant statement. To give you some context from
our, give us context,
from
please.
Our experience.
Yeah, man.
I think when we started off, like any business, you would just take on any work you can get. You want to survive, right?
I know.
You got bills to pay. You want to survive. And I think, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, we turned around and we really looked at our business and our revenue streams and where we were getting this money and you know, our team, like how happy was our team and what did the team dynamic? And we really sat there and we just thought to ourselves, you know what? Let's strip away everything that we're not good at. Because at the end of the day, there's an opportunity cost involved there because every piece of work that we do that we're not good at or not passionate about or not in love with. A, it reflects.
Absolutely.
And B, it's a wasted opportunity to take on a piece of work that you are good at and can actually do the inverse of that.
And sometimes you've got to say no. Like, you know, this is, the money might be great, but it's just not speaking your language or it's not where you want to be.
Hardest thing in the world.
I know.
Hardest thing in the world to say no. But in hindsight, it actually 99% of the time pays
credibility,
off.
Bradley.
Credibility?
Yeah.
Yeah, you establish credibility.
In that aspect.
People actually respect you when you say no. A lot of people think that if you say no to a client or a potential client, that the client's going to be upset. And actually what will end up happening is that they respect you because they see that you value yourself and that you value them.
And protecting your brand.
And I guess what I'm hearing come out
here.
I love the fact that you guys are connected.
Oh, sorry.
So go on.
Have we left you out there, Gareth? Sorry.
Yes, okay.
No, that's a great show. I mean, I'm caught up. I guess what I do hear us saying here is exactly this, is that people really need to be able to trust your brand and trust your product and trust the employees that you have. And so there's this thing, this credibility, authenticity thing that is that you are speaking about, but just in different terms here. Mm-hmm. Let's quickly just go to Platinum Seed. I've got a question. What are you trying to solve? So earlier on, we said, well, we're united around this purpose and this cause, which is not profit. What are you guys trying to solve or to fix in the world?
We try to add value to people's lives through technology. So that's one sort of statement, and it's quite loose, and I'll get into it a bit. And the other is that we use technology to bridge the gap between businesses and their customers. So to give businesses a better understanding of who their customers are, and then to help those businesses to add value to those customers through technology. So some practical examples of how technology is adding value to people's lives is how I got here today, through Uber.
We love Uber.
Is a great example of a service/tech company that is adding value to people's lives. You look at things like Nike Free Run, Discovery Vitality, let's bring it back to home. These are types of services and digital products is what they call that effectively add value to humans' lives through technology. It's a service with a product, technological product layer. And those are really the problems we're trying to solve, because you can look at it in a global sense. You can look at Kenya and you can look at M-Pesa. We don't have a formal banking structure. Now, 20 years ago, that would have been a huge issue to solve. But a simple piece of tech, like having your bank account on your cell phone, has enabled millions of people to now be able to transact with each other in a safe and secure manner. So those are the type of problems that Platinum Seed tries to solve. Yeah.
Very, very nice. How have you been able to, sorry, this is, I guess, a second question to the original question. How have then you been able to differentiate those who really do have those values and those that don't? How do you work through this employee hiring concern? And again, the previous conversation, we spoke about it. So how do you get through that? How do you get through the layers?
Your previous guest didn't say it in as many words, but you got to go with your gut. I think that was the lesson that he learned, or that he was saying he learned, that sometimes you know it, you know what you feel within. And I think pay attention to your gut. Where we slightly different is that we believe that we can hire on attitude and values as opposed to skills. We believe you can train people to become good at something or to fulfill a particular role, provided they have the correct attitude to do it or values to get there. So we used to hire a lot on skill only.
And what happens?
And what happens is your culture suffers, because you've got brilliant people, sure, that can do a job, but company isn't just about doing a job. It's so much more culturally around
being an
the
ambassador
team.
For Platinum Seed.
I mean, they might not have the same vision or common goal, for argument's sake, whereas you may have someone else who's really passionate about trying to add value to people's lives through technology, like what we're trying to do. But they may not necessarily have the full skill set you're looking for, but you can train that and you can develop them. And that's also great for them because it's part of career development.
Very nice.
Motivate our future CEOs on what it takes to be a great leader in the business industry. What is a great leader?
What
makes you a great leader, Bradley?
Someone who leads by example. That's for me, it always goes back down to that. If you lead by example and through your actions, I think that makes you a great leader. So it goes back down to basic principles. You can't expect to mentor people or get the most out of people. Expect them to give you their all if you're not doing the same for them. So, you know.
And you know what? A couple of CEOs have always said to us, Bradley, that as an MD or a CEO of a company, you're always being watched from the bottom up or from the top up, you know. So you've got to watch what you do and when you do it and how you do it.
100%. I mean, I know maybe I answered it a bit briefly, but I really believe it's something I've been taught from when I was very young. You can't, you know, be first to leave the office and then expect your staff to bring down to a practical example. Expect them to sit and work overtime and you going home and like sitting on your yacht.
Yeah, but why not? Because you're paying them. So, which is the natural question to ask, right?
Yeah, you're paying them, but I might be getting a bit deep here, but let's get it down to like serious
deep
terms. Without your people, you cannot generate income to pay them. So it's actually they're actually also paying you. Like, just remember that. I think employees, I'm not trying to say, let's go to the streets and have riots here.
Yeah, this sounds like
I'm not a socialist by any means. Trust me. I'm definitely not a socialist, but what I'm trying to say is it's a two-way street. Sure, you've given them the opportunity. You've taken the risk by putting capital into the business, by doing a whole bunch of things to be able to get that point. You're going out there, but I think it's a cultural thing. You really want people want to if you want respect, it's earned, not demanded, in my opinion. That's what it boils down to.
What do you think of the idea that also it's perhaps a part of the issue if you are feeling that way is also maybe certainly from an employee perspective, if I see my boss leaving at 4 o'clock and I'm leaving at 5 and I don't understand where he's going, that's a concern. So maybe there's a communication element here. What's my role? What's your role? And how are we adding value to the vision?
100%. So that's being connected. So I think we took it to maybe like a time sort of thing in that example, but it's actually all around deliverables. You know, what is my MD or is my leader delivering? Is he making this company a better place? Am I seeing sort of steps towards achieving our shared vision and goal? And do I trust, once again, comes down to trust. Do I trust them to do their job? Because there's no way, especially in bigger organizations, CEOs are never in the office. And then you could turn around and go, oh, well, he's never here. He's not doing anything. But the way they deliver, their actual deliverables illustrate what they're doing behind the scenes. So, yeah, I think as long as you're continuing to deliver and drive the company towards that shared vision, people will follow you and that's a leader.
Respect and trust, Gary.
Yep. Respect and trust,
Respect and trust. The biggest mistake that you have made on this journey. So you've been around for 7 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not very many startups get there, right?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So how do we navigate some of the failures that are along the way? And I mean, we have to find out what your failures are and then tell us what you learned from them, please.
Sure. Lots of failures.
Okay.
I think.
Join the club.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, failure is also like a big buzzword, but it is something that you do learn from, for 100%. So I think,
a story. Give us a story. Oh, a juicy one.
Sure. I'm trying. Okay. Maybe I'll go back to an example of, 3 or 4 years ago, we developed a mobile payment app that was going to be the first of its kind in South Africa. For ourselves and obviously for the clients. It was actually it was based off Square in the US. And what we did was we went out and we built this app and we followed like a really lean startup methodology, did all
the sexy stuff.
Stuff that you're meant to do. Yeah. It sounded great. And we took it to market and all of a sudden we got a whole bunch of phone calls from the banks and we were like a typical, like, you know, they want to stonewall us. And what actually landed up happening was that we had missed one tiny detail in our due diligence.
Damn.
And one small regulation that we had not taken into account. and that actually caused the business not to go ahead. So I think the first lesson I learned was in certain cases, do some really good due diligence.
Yeah.
I think the biggest lesson I've learned, and it goes back down to everything we've been talking to today, is work with people that bring out the best in you and that you can trust to do a job or trust to work with you. Trust is a huge, huge element. I won't go into details about how I learned that lesson, but let's just say I did. Surround yourself with people that where you benefit off each other and you really gel and have a good synergy.
Very, very nice. Libby, yep. a thought or two just around today's show?
You first.
Well, what I really have enjoyed seeing is that seeing the parallels between a CEO who, in many respects, is regarded as a leading authority here in the country. And I'm not saying you're not this.
I'm definitely nowhere.
And then we come into a more of a, let's say, a lean kind of startup kind of environment. We've used some of those words. So just a smaller entity, but the principles stay the same. And that I like that parallel. I like the fact that these golden threads in business, and it's not rocket science. It just comes down to a few key things.
A few key things for me: curiosity, respect, and trust.
Very
in
nice.
Business.
Freddie, a final thought, and you've got 5 seconds to give it to us. Just our future CEOs are listening. You're doing something remarkable. Give us a final piece of wisdom.
You only get given one name. Look after it, because no amount of money or anything can ever buy it back.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Very nice. Bradley, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. The MD of Platinum Seed. By the way, they have got a great website. A
sexy website.
After
people.
You see it, you're going to
a
want to employ them.
Sexy website, people.
We'll be back same time, same place next week. Go and download the podcast at cliffcentral.com. See you next week.
See you next week.
This is cliffcentral.com. Future CEOs on cliffcentral.com. Cliff Central.
The revolution. I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.